and Ephesians 2 verse 10. I just want to focus on this verse this morning and preach and teach from it. A beautiful little verse that's in the middle of that great chapter that we read earlier on. Verse 10 says this, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I just want to take this verse a phrase at a time this morning. And really just the start of it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." Excuse me. We are his workmanship. His workmanship. God is the creator. You know, this word workmanship talks, it's talking about a product which is made. It's a piece of handiwork. Actually, it's more of a piece of art or something like a sculpture. So when it talks about his workmanship, it's something that God is fashioning and creating. Something beautiful. Now, you might not think you're very beautiful this morning, but you are. You are. You know, God is working in you to create something beautiful. Something which has been fashioned and made with great love and great care. You know, a few weeks ago we went off to, last year with the Sunday school, we went to Rabat and we watched the potter as she skillfully created the pots and the plates and the bowls and the things that she was doing. But we are being created like that, with care, with love. And God is working in us. It says in the scriptures in the book of Genesis chapter 2, it talks about the way God created man. And it says in chapter 2 verse 7, it says, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." You know, God was working, fashioning man, fashioning you and me, creating us. He took the dust of the ground and he began to work it. We were formed. And then it says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of, you know, God breathed his spirit into man. And man became a living being, fashioned, created, his workmanship. Now, if you don't like the way you are, what advice can I give you? Get born again. And you'll be recreated. Yeah, God is the creator. And he's created us, he's fashioned us, just like a sculptor would create the bust. Or an artist would paint a picture. He's took his time. And he's making you into what he wants you to be. A vessel that will give honor and glory to him. But it says we've been created in Christ Jesus. You know, we're a new creation in Christ. You know, like the vessel that That was on the potter's wheel, that we read about in the book of Jeremiah. It says that, you know, as the potter was creating this vessel, this is Jeremiah 18 verse 4. It says, as he was creating this vessel on the wheel, it became marred, it became spoiled, it became ruined. And the potter smashed it down and rebuilt it, as seemed good to him, the scripture says. You know, we've been created in Christ Jesus like that potter. We were a marred vessel. You know, we read about it earlier on. You know, we were once dead in trespasses and sins, but we've been made alive. You know, we've been brought near by the blood of Jesus. You know, we've been fashioned and created. You know, everything that was of the old has been taken away and removed. All of the little bumps and the air pockets that get into the clay. You know, when we came to Christ, we were brought near by the blood of Christ. Verse 14 goes on and says that he himself is our peace. He's the one who's made us. He's made us whole. He's made us complete. You know, we've received his peace. But we've been created in Christ Jesus. We're a new creation, as the scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Where the old has been passed away and the new has, all things have become new. But something about this creation, this fashioning of this piece of work, this workmanship, is that we are continually being worked on. God is continually working on us, continually shaping us. You know, we might do something that's wrong, or we might go out, step out of his will, or turn aside from the path, you know, and cause a little marring to come into the vessel, and God shapes it and brings it back. And when we come in repentance, you know, he shapes us back. You know, we're continually being worked on. Come with me to, if you've got Bibles, because this tells us we can have confidence this morning in God. We can be confident of this very thing, that he, God, and the Lord Jesus, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, the good news is this. You might not think it's good news, but this is good news. You will not be perfect until the Lord comes again. That's good news. That means there's opportunity now for the Lord to put you right and create you and complete that work in you. You know, he's working on us, preparing us, as we read last week, to be presented to himself a glorious body without spot and wrinkle and a few extra wrinkles and things that are... Do you know, I've always had these wrinkles, even when I was younger. When I smile, they seem to be there more. I don't know what it is, and when I frown, they seem to disappear. But God is working on us, a continual process, shaping us, fashioning us. What is he fashioning us and creating us for? He says, for good works. For good works. I want to just suggest to you something this morning that I've been meditating upon as I've been thinking about this verse. Are we created to do good works, or are we created for another purpose? And yes, God wants us to do good. He wants us to live those lives, righteous lives. But works, good works, don't do anything for us. You know, all our righteousness, the Old Testament tells us, is as filthy rags in his sight. Everything that we do, does it really count when God looks at us? We read it, it's not of works. Our salvation has got nothing to do with our works. Otherwise we could boast and say, we've done this, we've done that. You know, we've been the best in our field on this. We deserve salvation. No, no, it's got nothing to do with works. But then he goes on and says that we're created for good works. And as I was thinking about this and meditating on it, I got this impression that we've been created to be recipients of God's goodness, his good work. We've been created for good works, his goodness. Let's go back and read that scripture that we read earlier on, verse 7. Ephesians 2, verse 7. It says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Now, in the ages to come, God might show in us his acts of kindness, his goodness, that we might be recipients of the goodness of God. We've been created for good works, for God's blessing, for God's input into our lives. You know, those acts of kindness that come from God come out of his love for us, out of his grace and out of his mercy. You know, I touched on a moment ago the creation of man. So let me show you something from the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1, Genesis 1 verse 27, a well-known scripture. Genesis 1 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. The first thing God did after he created man, says he blessed them. Verse 28. Then God blessed them. He imparted to them his goodness, his kindness. He gave them everything that they would need in order to complete their the instruction that he gave. What was the instruction he gave them to do? He told them to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill the earth and subdue it, and to have dominion. Now, when God created them, when God gave them that instruction, he gave them everything they needed in order to complete that task. He gave them his goodness. He gave them his kindness. You know, we've been told that we've been given the Great Commission as the Church of Jesus Christ. We've been told to go into the world, to preach the gospel to every nation, to make disciples of them, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to teach them to observe everything that Jesus commanded. And how? And are we expected to do that without the enabling? No. God gave us everything we needed to fulfill that commission. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us his life. He spoke his goodness into us. And we've been created for the same good works. We've been created to receive the goodness and blessing of God. So what is his goodness? How can we define his goodness? Well, to do that, I want to go to the Psalms. And it's Psalm 107. A great chapter which speaks of the goodness of God. In Psalm 107 and verse 8, it says these words. It says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful... Let me read it to you again. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. God's goodness is given to you and me. Actually, that verse is repeated 4 times in that psalm. And we see it in verse 15, then again in verse 21, and in verse 31. But what is his goodness? Well, this psalm is all about his goodness. The goodness of God. In verse 2. Whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. There's redemption as part of his goodness. His goodness redeems us, redeemed us. It's his goodness that's brought us out, as we read in Ephesians earlier on, that's brought us out of darkness into life. Verse 6, he delivered them out of their distresses. They cried to the Lord in their trouble. Have you got trouble this morning? Are you facing trouble? Well, the goodness of God delivers us out of trouble. The goodness of God. Verse 7, in the next verse, it says, he led them forth by the right way. You know, there's his guidance, his leading. That's his goodness. That God shows us the way to go. Verse 9. He satisfies and fills the longing, hungry soul. That God would satisfy us with his goodness. There was I probably knew her, but I would have been very small. And I don't recall the lady. But my father and my mother used to tell me about this lady that was in their church when they were growing up, and they were teenagers. And this old lady, this old godly woman, would say something like these words. She says, I'm satisfied with an unsatisfying satisfaction. Now you need to get your head around that. I'm satisfied with an unsatisfying satisfaction. Talking about Jesus. Yeah, I'm satisfied with Jesus, but in that being satisfied, I'm always wanting more of him. I'm always wanting more. And Jesus satisfies the longing soul. The hungry soul. If you are hungry this morning for God, look no further than the Lord Jesus. If you are thirsting for righteousness, look no further than the Lord Jesus. You know, he satisfies. Verses 14 and 16 says that he broke their chains in pieces. And he's broken the gates of bronze. He cuts the bars of iron into... You know, he sets the prisoner free. You know, he sets free this one. That's his goodness. That we don't have to be bound and chained with sin and habits and things that will oppress us and get us down. You know, Jesus is the chain breaker. Jesus is the chain breaker. Jesus is the chain breaker.
Amen.
You're getting warmed up. One more time. Jesus is the chain breaker.
Amen.
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 Thank you for your feedback. Yet Jesus is the one who sets the prisoner free. You know, you were bound in sin, but Jesus set you free. Amen. What's that song? It's an old song. Do you know this? You know that song, Ruth? Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. There's a few other verses to that.
Good old one.
Jesus set us free. Amen. Yeah, we were bound by sin. We were bound with chains. We were bound, we were in bondage. But Jesus, amen, has set us free. Verse 20 goes on and says, another part of the goodness of God, he sent his word and healed them. There's healing in Jesus' name. Part of his goodness. Verse 29, it goes on. These are just a few things from this psalm. Verse 29, he calms the storm when troubled situations come. We see it in the Gospels where Jesus stood up and rebuked the wind and the waves. You know, whatever storms might rage against us today, you know, Jesus calms the storm. He's the peace in the storm. Verse 35 says he turns the wilderness into pools of water. You know, the wilderness, where nothing grows, where it's barren. You know, where it's fruitless, he turns it into an oasis, pools of water. We can be refreshed even in the midst of barren times. That's his goodness. Verses 37 and 38, just two more here. It says, he blesses the fruit of the ground. Look what it says. It says, he says, sow fields and plant vineyards that they may yield a fruitful harvest. He also blesses them and they multiply greatly. He does not let their cattle decrease. You know, there's blessing on our fields. You know, he blesses the fruit of the ground. The work of our hands is how we could translate. You know, God blesses the jobs that we do.
Amen.
You know, you don't just go to work. A lot of us, we think we just go to work and we earn our money to pay our bills. No, you know, we go to work to serve God.
Amen.
God's given us that job. And everything we do, we should do as unto the Lord.
Amen.
And if we're doing it as unto the Lord, you know what we're doing? Can I tell you something? If you're doing your job, your paid employment, to God, you're doing it as unto Him. You know, you're doing a job which is as important as me standing here this morning preaching to you. Why? Because you're serving the Lord Jesus. You're doing what he has called you to do. He's put you in that place so that you might be a light and a witness for him. So that you might shine for him. And if you do your job as unto the Lord, he will be glorified. And if he's glorified, he's pleased.
Amen.
Hey. He blesses the fruit of our ground. He blesses the work of our hands. That's his goodness. So all that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children. You know, when Jesus was born, we remembered this a few weeks ago. We read in the scriptures from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. We read that when Jesus was born, the angels came into the fields and they announced to the shepherds that, you know, this day is born to you in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ, the Lord. And then it goes on and says that a whole host of angels came and filled the sky in verse 14. You know, they were making this proclamation. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The goodness of God toward men. The goodness of his will toward men. That's what that word means there. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. God's goodness, God's goodwill be to all men. You know, God's goodness had come in the form of Jesus. And actually, that's what Jesus is, the fulfillment of this psalm. You know, he is the Redeemer. He's the Deliverer. He's the guide. He's the Satisfier. He's the one who sets the prisoner free. He's the Healer. He's the peace in the storm. He's the one that blesses the fruit of our hands. Amen. But it goes on in our scripture in Ephesians 2 verse 10. It says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. There's a... While we are in the Psalms, let's go back to Psalm 31. There's a psalm there, a verse in that psalm which says this. It says, "Oh, how great," this is verse 19, Psalm 31, "have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men." How great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you. You know, God's laid up his goodness for those who fear him, for those who trust him, for those who serve him. You know, God has prepared it beforehand. You've prepared it for those who trust in you. You know, God wants to bless you this morning with his goodness far much more than you want to be blessed. How much do you want to be blessed this morning? Because you can never want as much as God wants to give you. You can never give God in that sense. God will always go exceedingly beyond and above what you ask or even think, Paul writes in Ephesians. So it doesn't matter how much you can ask, how much you can think, how much you can dream. God will always go better than that. Because that's his goodness. He's good. God has prepared his goodness for us, that we should walk in them. Paul closes that verse with, you know, those who belong to Christ are his ambassadors to all men. If we belong to him, we represent him.
Amen.
So that doesn't mean that we can be like the angels on a Sunday morning and like the devil on a Monday morning. We represent the Lord Jesus in every area of our lives. Particularly, we represent Jesus to those that we meet, those that see us. So it matters what we say. It matters what we do. It matters the things that we put on public, like things like social media. People are looking. We are his representatives. We are his ambassadors. We represent Jesus here on earth. You know, like Adam, we've got a function to do. We've got to walk in his goodness. We've got to fulfill his instruction. Now, thank God we've got his goodness to walk in. Because the Bible tells us this in the book of Galatians. Paul's writing to the church. Now, a lot of people have taken this and... They switched it to money, to finance. But Galatians says this. And it says, "Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap. Let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith." That was Galatians 6 verses 9 and 10, if you want the scripture reference. Let us do good to all, especially especially those of the household of faith. You know, we've got to walk in the goodness of God. But God isn't, I've been sharing, you might say, well, God isn't that good to me. You know, I don't see his goodness like that in my daily life. I want to close with one more scripture this morning. And I want you to take this scripture, and I want you to get this scripture right down deep inside. If it means you have to repeat this scripture to yourself for the next 30 days, you've got to get it inside, and you've got to come to this. This has got to be the bottom line when you're talking about God. And it's Psalm 119, verse 68. Psalm 119, verse 68. Chico, get it on the screen and we'll read it together. Psalm 119, 68. As I said, this is the bottom line. There it is. You are good, and you do good. You've gone too far. Let's stop. You are good, and you do good. You are good, and you do good. This is talking about God. This is the psalmist. He's addressing God. He says, you are good, and you do good. God is good.
Amen.
That's the bottom line. So it doesn't matter. I'm not seeing it. Doesn't matter whether you're seeing it. God is good.
Amen.
And he does good.
Amen.
All the time. God is good.
All the time.
And he does good.
All the time.
So get that. If you have to repeat that to yourself for 1,000 times, repeat it until it's burn in your spirit. God is good.
Amen.
And he does good.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Shall we give a hand to the Lord?
Amen.